And I like to think I'm not wrong.
I've been called a corporate rebel, not in a good way. Sometimes I believe the company line, and sometimes I hope for the best, but sometimes I don't.
Yes.
Welcome to Leadership Decanted, where we engage with the latest thinking on all things leadership, and we keep the conversation going over a nice bottle of wine.
Hey, KG.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Great. It's been a good week. Today's a little bit of a... Oh, it's a bit of a mix of a day, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've had all seasons in one day today.
Yeah, a little sunny, but now a little drizzly rainy, but that's all right.
Yeah.
I'm hanging out with you and
we're hanging out.
Got some really good wine coming, so I know that that, you know.
We do have some wine.
That's the highlight of my... The whole conversation
podcast
thing.
Podcast, Schmoffcast.
Not yeah, worried about that. Let's talk about the
let's
wine.
Let's talk about the wine. We do have a special wine. It is a very special wine. It's a special wine for me because I bought this a long, long time ago directly from the winemaker. Would have been, I think, maybe the second or third vintage, if that. We may have had this wine before on the podcast. I can't remember, but it doesn't matter because, you know, you can always have more. This is Castagna. We have a Castagna La Chiave 2002.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And La Chiave is a Sangiovese wine, 100% Sangiovese. That's an Italian grape. Julian Castagna is the main winemaker, and it's in Beechworth, Victoria. Now, this is a special one because I remember having a chat with Julian a long time ago, telling me about his journey to making wine.
Nice.
And, you know, had it in my cellar ever since, and I figured, hey, let's pop it open.
Yes. So how long exactly have you had it?
Oh, look, I may have bought it, I don't know, maybe 2004, 2005.
Wow. Like I'm feeling special here.
Yeah. I'm feeling special.
To taste this.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know, 2002 was when my daughter was born.
Oh, special year.
Even super special. And... we are now taping the day before her 20th birthday.
Wow. This is all lining up. The stars are aligning.
This is for you, beautiful daughter. dedicating this wine and this podcast episode.
Yes.
To my daughter.
Yes. At some point, we should probably tell them what the subject of today's podcast is. Do you want to do wine first or...
Oh, look, I have to say, I always want to do wine first. As much as I love our conversations, let's get to the drinking. Here we go.
Love it.
All right, cork. So I'm going to try and open this up, hopefully, without making a mess.
And that's not a sound effect. That's the real deal.
No, maybe we can sell it as a sound effect.
Yes.
Make a bit of money. Okay, here we go. Oh, that's coming out nicely. Okay.
Nice.
No unusual smells coming out of the bottle, so that's great.
That's great. That's a good start.
Okay, here's the pour.
Looks good. Wow.
This has a really deep red brick colour. Oh, here there's a red fruit, but...
Dark red. Yeah, not cherries. That's good.
Listeners, there is a God.
A wine god.
That is superb.
Yes.
Oh, my God. This is so good.
Yes. 2002. Remember it. If you can find it.
Yeah. Good luck with that. That wine is worthy of dedication.
Yes, it is. It's a birthday wine, so it's beautiful.
Lovely daughter. Happy birthday. All right. Shall we... get to it.
Yeah. Been looking forward to this one. I mean, in this time, it's just you and I, no guests.
It is.
But it's just like we have a guest.
Because that's
right. We got some, we had an opportunity to go through our emails and look at what different people have suggested. And just, by the way, if you have any suggestions on show topics that we should cover, please drop us a line and we will consider them. And this
sure
is
will.
The first one that we've kind of
this
said,
is one,
this
yes.
is, yeah, this is from you, the listeners, and you want to tell them, I guess, a little bit more about it, maybe read
what we sure. got. Yeah, sure. We got the email, absolutely. And this one kind of resonated with us quite well, apart from the fact that it's a really clever email, in my opinion, but let me read it to you. It's from Andrew.
Andrew, how are you, man?
Hey, Andrew, shout out. Dear Paul and KG, I have been enjoying your podcast. It's the only one I listen to ever.
Wow. That and well, this is what caught our attention. We're like,
well, really? That's the thing. Yeah, it stroked our ego. But Andrew, maybe you should get out more or less. I'm not sure which one it is.
But we love you, Andrew.
Yeah, that's thank right. You. And I have a topic suggestion. Recently, I found myself pouring half a bottle of wine back into the bottle because I hadn't finished it.
Wow.
I thought to myself.
I never do that, by the way.
That's right.
I finish pretty that's much right. every time, but let's not
yeah.
go there.
Yeah, that's another yet. Issue. Yeah. I thought to myself, hey, I'm recanting. After thinking through the theological metaphor,
wow.
I realized that there is a business metaphor too, and also a nice little play on words.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I wonder whether in a future show you might talk about the times when, as leaders, we have to go back on our word, either because we were wrong or even sometimes because we were right but faced an inquisition.
Mm.
I wait with bated ears. Andrew.
Wow. Great job, Andrew. This is
it's a great email. It's a great email.
It is.
But also a great idea, and one certainly that resonated with me at all sorts of levels.
Yes.
Memories came flooding back about the times that I had to recant, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I had declared as true or as inevitable or as banked. And all of a sudden, it wasn't.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, right. there's so much that we know until we realize we don't know.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, you know, although the best intentions, the truth at the time or the correct answer at the time was X, then you look back and you go, you know what? We've got to rethink that. We've got to do something else. And you know, that's the subject of this one.
That's so, right. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a great one. Yeah. And I love the play on words. It's just great. It's clever. So, yeah. Andrew, you are a star.
Thanks, Andrew. All right. So where would you like to start, KG? How do you understand this notion of leadership recanted?
I think it's one of those things where it's hard to admit as any person, not you know, necessarily in a leadership context, but when you're wrong, sometimes it's just hard because we're all really in that mode where we think we're clever, right? And when we get something completely wrong, it's hard. And I think this whole notion of recanting has that feel to it where no matter what the situation is, even how minor it is, it's hard to go back on your word almost to kind of take that back. I think about a situation I'm in right now where we've made some decisions, we're going in a certain direction, but we've looked at the data from the last 3 months and we realize that there's likely going to be a different direction that we end up in. And I know that I've already given my team all of the comfort and information that says, you know, we're doing the right thing, we're going the right direction. And when I go to them, which I will likely have to do in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and let them know we're going a different direction, I feel like I'm recanting, even though what I'm doing is really adjusting to the current,
sure.
the information at hand, right? But it's still something that I have to really kind of wrestle with in my mind as to how I do that and what's the best way to approach it. So it's a tough one as a leader. And it's just as, you know, just as human beings, it's a tough concept to say, oh, I'm wrong, or I was wrong with that statement, or I've given so much, because for in this situation, I'd given them so much comfort that we're doing the right thing. We're doing everything we should be. And now that's going to change, although those statements were absolutely correct and I meant every bit of it, we're going to make an adjustment that's going to make some of them feel like we weren't doing the right thing. And
right.
And I know that. And so I'm going to have to wrestle with all of
sure.
those emotions that go along with it.
And not necessarily wanting to get you off the hook or give you a pass, but in that instance, were you wrong? Or is it simply a matter of, you know what, the data that we had took us to a certain point. Now the data is different, changed for whatever reason. Markets changed maybe.
Yeah. Yep.
And now we have to decide on something else. Is that a recant?
That's the debate, right? Because I don't know if so. One, I think I'm not wrong, right? But am I giving myself an out? That's
sure.
what I'm wondering, yeah. right? Because I think it's the level at which I gave them kind of that sense of comfort that we're going the right direction. That I feel like maybe I led them astray, you know, as their leader, because, you know, it's that trust thing that we talk about often, right? As I built the level of trust, they know that everything we've made decisions on together, we're able to forge forward. And now when I go and say, look, we're going to make some adjustments, it's actually going to go not completely opposite, but distant from where we were planning to go. I think there's going to be some consideration of, oh, now do we trust, you know, the next directive? Do we trust the next plan that we make, or is that just going to change again? You know, it's that cynicism that is automatically now available to them because I'm having to recant on the present direction that we're going. So you might be right. Maybe I'm not wrong. And I like to think I'm not wrong, because it's just adjusting to the new information.
Yes, we all like to think we're not wrong.
But I think in their eyes, and I'm trying to think of it from their standpoint, I think it's going to feel like we've taken the decision to go completely opposite.
Yeah, look, I've experienced similar situations to what you're highlighting there. And I do think that it could then go either way. There is possibility for cynicism or skepticism as we present newer plans or newer directions. But I think there is now a role for the conversation around uncertainty or complexity or ambiguity. You know, a lot of people like to have that sense of, you know, we make a decision and we're going to stick to the decision and we're just going to plow through it. But as we've known and as we've experienced, as a global population we've experienced, there are certain things that are highly disruptive that require that we change tack.
Yeah.
But clearly some people really prefer, their preference is to be as linear as possible. And it's often those people that find that cynicism in the conversation because they're like, well, you said that last time.
Yeah, it's the easier out. Yeah. It's like, oh, just, you know.
But I think the way to mitigate that level of cynicism is to invite a conversation to say, look, sure, you're right. These are the new data points that we have that tell us if we're stuck to our plans, it's not going to be good for us.
Yeah.
What I've experienced, I guess, is where I'm going with this, is that sometimes there are constraints about how much you're allowed to reveal.
Yes, yes.
Right? That's and so you're playing this weird obfuscation game, you know, where you're kind of being a sort of transparent but not quite. And, you know, it's like it's sometimes you feel like you can communicate quite openly.
Yeah.
And other times you've got to hold something back. For me, that's where the biggest problem for my own experiences have been, where I've had access to information and yet I've been tasked with a particular company line.
Yes, yes.
Now, sometimes I believe the company line and sometimes I hope for the best, but sometimes I don't believe it. I myself don't believe the company line.
Yes, but you are still obligated almost to,
terrible.
To and stand behind.
That's right. So then what happens for me is that I feel like I'm already on the wrong foot in my communication and it's going to go south. And I know it's going to go south.
Yeah.
So I always have to then second guess myself around how do I deliver this information? How do I protect my reputation?
Yeah.
It just becomes a really weird exercise for me in authenticity.
Yeah.
And quite a failed one, I think, in my opinion, for me, where like I've had many occasions where I haven't had the privilege of being able to reveal things, and yet I'm expected to hold fort or maintain status quo. I find that very difficult.
Yeah,
some people find that much easier than I do. I don't.
Yeah.
Not because I think I hold a higher moral ground, but because ultimately I'm not very good at it. I'm not very good. And I can point you to a lot of people who have managed me in the past, and they realize that at some point my ability to maintain the company line just breaks apart. I can't hold it for very long.
You know that about yourself.
I do know about it. And unfortunately it has led to many unfortunate conversations where I have created a chaotic environment.
Yes.
Simply because I had really a lot of difficulty in keeping the company line.
Yeah.
A lot of that is because of this need to recant.
Yes.
Or maybe not so much recant, but withhold.
Yeah.
And that has also created a lot of sleepless nights.
Yeah, it's for you anyone.
For me,
because you're the one who's trying to balance between what you can reveal and the impacts that's going to have at what time and how much do you give? Because when you lead a group of people in any sense, you know, whether it's on a peer level or you're their manager, you feel like you have some obligation, connection, there is a relationship that you're trying to maintain.
Yep.
And when you know that you're going to give them only a part of the information, and sometimes you believe you should give them more, but yep. you know that the company,
yes.
you know, is trying to make sure that you hold that information. It's tough. It's tough. And it's tougher on you than anyone as a leader, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm not suggesting that someone's doing this in poor faith. I think people are trying to make the best of a situation, especially when there's not enough information. And clearly, I might be holding information that I can't reveal to others, but similarly, those above me are probably holding information that they're not giving me.
That's right. There's layers to that.
Layers upon layer upon layer. And it's about how do you find the way through that? I don't believe there is a clear answer.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be an ongoing complexity around our interactions within an organization, within an enterprise, where information can create problems as well as provide solutions.
Yeah.
But similarly, lack of information does exactly the same thing.
Right.
So if you have a lack of information, or if you're not quite joining the dots, then that vacuum will be filled by something.
Yeah, whether it's rumor or someone making some broad assumptions that
That's
this
right.
is happening. And
That's right.
Yeah, it happens around you, right?
Yeah.
Because people get a sense.
That's right. So you have a situation where if I tell you everything, it might create problems. And if I don't tell you everything, it might create problems.
Yeah.
And I believe that is always going to be, well, certainly it has always been for me, that tightrope.
Yeah.
And I can't think of any time where I've successfully been able to walk that tightrope. When I say successfully, I mean where it's come out the other side and I rub my brow off the sweat. I think, oh, good. That's over.
We did that. That's great.
But no, there's always been some fallout.
Yeah.
You know, some blowback because I've had to recant.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a complex thing, right? And I think that's the interesting part about this discussion and this topic is that there are all these complexities as to why you may have to do it.
Yeah.
But the fact is, as leaders, as people in organizations where you work with people, you quite often are going to have to deal with that in some way. As transparent as you want to be, because like you said, you may want to give them information. You may feel like your part in this aligns to them, you know, as people who you work with. But sometimes you just can't. Sometimes there's an obligation on the other side that you need to fulfill as well. I've been in a situation where we were doing an acquisition. And of course, you know, there's legals and all that kind of stuff you have to worry about. And I knew that we were plowing ahead with developing a product is what we were doing, but we were going to acquire another company who had the same product. So essentially all of that work that we were putting in to develop this product and, you know, we're talking daily about what features should go in and how we're going to make this better and how we're going to compete when I know that we're actually going to
shelve
what we've done. All the people who are involved in that are not going to be happy, and we're going to go another direction at some point. And it's a tough thing to do. And for me, the toughest part of that was knowing and continuing a conversation with people that I really respected and, you know, continued to respect.
Yeah.
But that was what had to be done for the situation. And when I revealed, and it wasn't me who made the big announcement, but when, you know, we had the wash-up conversation with my team, it was tough because it was obvious to them that I had access to that information. And I made it clear that I had access to that information, but that I had to take back some of the statements we were making at the time because, you know, I was encouraging still and trying to keep them on path. Sure. But knowing that we were going to do something different.
And what was the wash up out of that? How did that experience impact your relationships with people, if at all?
Oh, I think it definitely impacted the relationships because we all have our different styles of leadership and some are, you know, directive. And for me, it was more being a friend and, you know, being encouraging and those kind of things. And as those conversations happened post the acquisition, I could sense that there was a different a feeling about me as their leader. I felt more like their boss, and they still understood that all the things that happened had to happen, and they were still going to be the best for the company ultimately and so forth. But I think there was a realization that even as close as we were as a group, all information was not equally able to be shared as open as we'd like to be. It's just part of the landscape that you can't share everything. And so it didn't impact us. I think we got over it, and I think we still were able to smash through the next few years of success. And part of it was bringing on the new team and learning how to do things differently. But did it impact us? Yes. And what that really resulted in, was it good or bad? I can't say, but it definitely was an impact.
Yeah. I think for me, the struggle is mostly internal. And I think you touch on it when you talk about different styles and different... Not only are there different leadership styles, but there are also different ways of navigating what leadership is doing and how leadership is impacting you.
Yeah.
Now, some people are really keen to really understand every nuance of every decision. So why are we doing that? Why is that? Why is that? Other people could be just as likely to accept a decision. So, well, it's not, you know, it's above my pay grade. Yep. I don't care. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
Made the call. Let's go do it.
And then everything else in between.
Yeah.
So it does depend, and this is where I think I found it most challenging. You know, when I'm leading teams, and often they weren't very small teams, they're quite large teams, you're going to have people of all types.
Yeah.
People that react or respond to a particular form of leadership in many different ways. So some people wanted a lot of information. Some people didn't care about the information. Some people wondered how it was going to impact them and their own security. Other people wondered about how it was going to impact their team.
Yeah.
And to be able to customize the conversation to each one takes a lot of work. But I realized over time that it's the necessary piece of work to do that, because not everybody is going to hear you the same way.
Yeah.
And I think I found myself less likely to recant if I was to tailor my communication according to how I thought the other person would receive it.
Okay.
If I could do that and say, look, I don't have enough information here, but this is what I think is going to happen. Or, look, I do have enough information, but I can only tell you this much.
Yeah.
That was often very difficult for me, because I'm also an information-driven guy. I also want to ask why and want to know why. It's much easier to me to empathize with somebody who asks a lot of questions.
Because you think that's what I would be doing.
Especially when I can't give them the answer, and yet I have the answer, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, oh, this guy's going to be so peeved.
Yeah. He's going to...
And then I begin to carry that anxiety.
Yes, it's a weight on you.
Yes, and that's where the wheels begin to fall off for me. If over time I carry these anxieties with me and I can't, there is no way to be able to get rid of them, you know, whatever which way I need to, then I do get a little bit volatile in my approach. Some people call it rebellious. I've been called a corporate rebel.
Oh, wow.
Not in a good way. Okay. Well, actually, no, let me change that. It starts being a good way.
Yeah. And then it goes awry.
Over time,
all of a sudden,
it's the same words, but the meaning is certainly very different. Yes. But that happens to me because I find myself in too much of a ethical or cognitive dissonance that I can't hold the line for much longer.
Yeah.
And I find that very difficult. And so the recanting there is often more about releasing the pressure for me than it is about holding the line.
Yeah.
Which gives any corporate hiring manager out there a good data point that for the long term, I'm probably not the right guy to hold your company line. Yeah. After maybe a few months,
take note.
I'm gone. Yeah.
It's so gonna come out.
I do respect and value those managers that stayed with me for longer than a year, trying to work me out and trying to help me. I do bring value to an organization.
Lots of it.
And I do bring different ideas. But if you're going to make me walk that tightrope, eventually I'm going to lose my balance.
Yeah.
And I know that now about myself, having fallen and bruised myself and broken lots of things. I know that about myself. But that process of having to recant, this is why this email of Andrew's really resonated with me.
Because
I could feel it all coming back.
Yes, it all kind of floods back.
Thanks for nothing, Andrew.
So what do you
think,
Paul, for those people who are listening to this and they're saying, these guys are soft. What are they talking about?
That's right.
That's
it. Once again, it goes back to style.
Yeah.
So my style is very, very relational. And, you know, I'm thinking of, and I think you know who you are, I'm thinking of a friend of mine who listens to this podcast, and he's very much of that line.
Yeah.
Like, come on, when you buy into an employment contract, you are selling your skill set and you are taking direction.
Yeah.
What's all this about, you know, feeling nice and being well?
Worrying about, you give them the information, they can handle
just
it or
the
they
job.
Don't.
Yeah. Just do the work, all right? Just do the work. And I can see an argument
truth
for
that.
That,
right?
Totally, totally. 100% truth.
Yeah.
Right, but there's 100% truth in the other style as well.
Yeah.
So it's not about whether one style is more truthful than another. For me, it's about, okay, what styles work in a particular context? And what is the likelihood of a human response to that style that may or may not be productive?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you can't read that room, then it tells you enough about the fact that maybe you're using the wrong style. Or if you don't give a stuff, fine. Maybe that's your style.
Yeah.
But be aware that does have a ripple effect.
Yeah, there's consequences.
From a cultural perspective. Yeah. Although people that I'm thinking of don't really care about the cultural perspective.
Yeah. And look, there's an argument that says people are employed to do the job. So whatever the information is you give them, they'll have to deal with it no matter what. Doesn't matter how much you coddle them, how much, you know, you try to make them comfortable with the decision. The decision is the decision. And their job, their obligation is to go off and deliver to that. And that's right. That's correct, right?
Exactly.
And then so even if you have to change direction, change tact, recant what was said earlier, it's just a part of the job.
Yeah.
And I get that, but it still doesn't make it easy for people like us.
Yeah, bleeding hearts.
The bleeding hearts. I was going to say something even less flattering than that. But yes.
Yeah, what are they calling them? The snowflakes.
Yeah, snowflakes, wallflowers.
Yes, yeah, corpus snowflakes.
It's a good one, though. It's one that does make you think. And I think, like you described, the fact is the person who wears it more is the person who has to do the recanting and has to either hold that information or make some decisions on how they're going to deliver the information. It's a tough gig. It's tough. And, and unless you are like your friend who is like, nah, I've got this and I'm just going to go deliver the information, which is good. I mean, if you can do that.
Absolutely.
I admire it. I'm like, I wish I wasn't laying awake at night going, okay, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? Who's going to react this way? And why are they going to, what they're going to say. Oh, they're going to recall this time when we just, okay.
You know? You're trying to second guess every single response.
That's right.
But I do think that there might be ways of either softening or avoiding the bigger or the more extreme experiences in terms of negative emotion.
Yeah.
In that, I wonder whether there's opportunity very early on or even before there is some bad news on the horizon to reconfigure the social contract between you and your team, if you have a team, or even your coworkers, to say, look, this is what we're trying to do together. This is what we're trying to achieve. Every now and again, I'm going to have access to information and you need to know this. I won't be able to tell you.
Yeah.
And also, I am expected to follow a particular line. Now, whether or not I agree with it is immaterial. Now, of course, some people feel very strongly about that, in that they like to separate themselves from bad news by saying, oh, I don't agree with it, but this is what it is, and somehow makes the news better. But it just lets you off the hook,
that,
right?
I don't like that, because I think that is trying to say, okay, it's not me.
That's
them.
Right.
It's them.
Okay? That's right. Exactly. It's not me, it's them. And that's a little bit weak. But sometimes, if you really don't agree with it, then you have to take a stronger stand.
Yeah.
But I think there could be an opportunity to clarify the rules of the game with a team or with a coworker. Sometimes I won't be able to do everything. My obligation is, both to you and to the organization. And the way that I'm going to exercise that obligation towards you is being as transparent as I can with you and telling you that I think is happening. But there will be times when I can't do all of that.
Yeah.
So how do we navigate this relationship if sometimes I'm going to be in a position where I can't tell you everything and see what comes back and have that conversation and be open about it? Because ultimately, ideally, if we can all think through this in a much more adult way and understand that there are responsibilities at stake and there are things that we have to do and there are things that we are obligated to do, then that might shift things. I don't know. But it doesn't change the fact that we, sometimes information or data changes and that's going to change our position.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to accept that.
Now, we've been talking about things that potentially we could be off the hook because it's someone else's decision.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a situation where you just got it wrong? You just told them the wrong and it was just straight wrong. And,
yes.
And you had to do the same, recant.
Yes. And often those situations are linked.
Yeah.
For me, there's been a continuum of experiences in that sometimes there has been a decision made that I don't agree with. And I have, for whatever reason, and yeah, it is human weakness and so forth, I have either told them a slight variation of the truth, which is ultimately not the truth, or I have given them a reason to hope differently.
Yeah.
Why? Mostly because I probably had already reached that stage that I mentioned earlier, that threshold, where I just couldn't toe the line or I couldn't walk the tightrope.
Yeah.
And just for whatever reason, my narrative fell apart. And so I may have been desperate in those times to be seen in a particular light, to also be off the hook and therefore to be seen as the good guy.
Yeah.
So yes, I've had situations where that was the driver and then I've had to swallow my pride and accept that I don't think I told you everything that I should have told you, or I don't think I was fully open with you, or I was hoping for this. And in some cases, I was genuinely thinking that was going to happen and it was just the opposite happened.
Yeah.
I misread a situation. Lots of different reasons. Ego, fear, wanting to be liked, and just plain ignorance.
Yeah.
I've lived all of those. And all of those are difficult and all of those have created issues with the people I've led. But in most cases, maybe it's just my sheer bloody-mindedness, I've stuck to trying to repair the relationship or repair the trust.
Yeah.
And on most occasions, not all of them, I have to admit, but on most occasions, we've been able to redeem that relationship and repair it. But it took a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it also revealed a lot of my style and also revealed my my shortcomings as a company guy.
Yeah.
People now understand that. People who work with, who will never hire me again in those roles.
And now people in podcast land.
But who I know still love me dearly.
Yeah.
So I'm good with that.
You're doing all right.
Yeah, I'm okay.
That's great, Paul.
Yeah. So look, that's the email that we're responding to.
Thank you,
Andrew. I think there's a lot more that I could say about this topic, but we'll be moving into therapeutic territory, as you can tell.
I already need a couch that
I can lay on. Right. Exactly. But look, really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed being taken there into a much more complex space relationally. Thank you, Andrew. Please keep listening.
Yes. And for everyone else out there, we do read your emails, so please keep them coming. And if you do have a topic that you want us to cover, let us know.
Yes, please.
Oh, good. On that note, Paul, I think it's
Slange, everyone.
Have a good one.
That's it for our show today. If you liked what you heard, if you liked our conversation, if you want to hear more, please rate us, review us, subscribe. Tell your friends, your family, your enemies, everyone you know. As always, we'd like to hear your feedback about any particular leadership topic you'd like to hear about or want us to explore. Please let us know by reaching out to us at askus@leadershipdecanted.com. That's askus@leadershipdecanted.com. You can also leave your comments and suggestions at our website at leadershipdecanted.com. We really appreciate your time and comments. Thanks for listening and come back next time.